Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some friends that I knew on Facebook from my high school days were posting stuff on Facebook which was factually wrong, which is what they wanted to do, which they complained then at me because what I wanted to do with Facebook was to correct them, which was apparently the wrong thing to do. Part of this is also to follow through with the old idea that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island, and I'm an unabashed atheist. You will notice, of course, that we have fewer people than normal on the show. That may change as the evening progresses, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we cherry-picked our clients today.
Yes, we have, starting from the south of me in Pittsburgh. Good evening, Joe.
Since when am I the first one to go up on this?
Because our friends to the north decided that they were going to take a powder.
Good evening, folks. Name's Joe. I was born into an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. I moved to Ohio, then spent 8 years in the United States military. Now I'm living in Pittsburgh as an atheist.
Okay. And then moving to the southeast. Good evening, Tech.
Hi. Folks, you'll notice I'm not in black and white today. In fact, my bar is missing because Google Hangouts has decided to be a dick. Yeah.
You're also okay. A lot less fuzzy.
Yeah, that's because it's Firefox instead of Chrome today. Let that be a lesson to you, Chrome. Anyway, I grew up in New York, actually, even though I was born in Maryland, and I've since returned to Maryland. And I grew up in a mixed household. So my one side of my family is Jewish. One side of my family was Catholic, not Christian, but Catholic. Yeah, it made for interesting extended family get-togethers. Really, it was. I've heard the stories.
If only you had Mel Gibson as a uncle, like twice removed.
I'd rather have Charlie Sheen as an uncle than Mel Gibson.
But that's my point. Never mind.
Rather have Mel Brooks personally, but that's just...
If
I had Mel Brooks as a relative, oh my God, man.
Forget about it. Let a Schwartz just be with like, you.
You couldn't pull me away from that guy in terms of listening to, rapt attention of his stories and everything else.
Easy there.
Whenever they do documentaries and stuff like that on him.
This is supposed to be a PG show.
Not that kind of pull away. Anyway, unless I was a woman. But I digress. So one of the things that my family did was always encourage me and my sister to ask questions. We always were allowed to ask questions. We were encouraged to ask questions. If we didn't know something, ask. If my folks didn't know, we learned how to find things out. Going to a library, checking the card catalog. Yeah, I actually know how to do that. I'm old. I'm sorry. We didn't have the internet yet. Talking to other people, in the engineering field or in a science field or in a whatever the case might be. If it was a religious question, we didn't know the answer. Go to a church, go to a temple, go to a synagogue, whatever the case might be. But we were always encouraged to ask questions. And ultimately, having practiced a couple religions and researching other ones over a long period of time, I came to the inevitable conclusion that most people who read the Bible from front to back end up becoming atheists.
It's amazing how that works after a while, isn't it?
Exactly. Once you sit down and really, really read that book, you start to see the inconsistencies. You start to see the where it should not be taken literally under any circumstances, even though you have churches or other places saying that, no, it literally means this. It's like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't, And it's amazing. I actually like to sit down and read the Quran sometime. There's no way I'd probably be able to read it in the original language because of the simple reason being I had a hard enough time learning Russian and I barely passed. My brain is not wired for languages unless they're computer languages.
You know, funny enough, I will go ahead and I will leak this one anyway. If anybody's been watching the Holy Crap Twitter feed, you may have noticed I put out the word to Paul from Quranify Me to see about coming on the show sometime. He's going to be a little bit busy for the next at least week. But the word is out to him, and he knows full well he's got an open invitation whenever. All he needs to do is just give me more than a day's notice, and he'll be in here. And I personally would love that. I really can't wait for that, because I would love.
If he shows up, I'll bring bacon, like this bacon infused cheese, not Halil.
See, you considering I don't really think that what you got there quite qualifies as cheese, so good on you.
It's a cheese spread with chunks of bacon in it. How bad can anything be if you add chunks of bacon to it?
I don't know. There's
I would go down on Betty White if she stuck bacon in her panties.
Go down on Betty White anyway.
And really,
yeah, that's a good point. That really is a good point.
This is not the week for this conversation. We're going to have to table this for now.
Slice and we'll spread, come back the best to thing it. Since
Hi, Betty.
White. Yes. And you know, if Betty White saw this, she'd be laughing her butt off. You know that. That lady's got such a wonderful sense of humor.
I really don't want to be the person that's responsible for her losing a good portion of her liposuction butt. So we'll table this for now. And actually, I'll tell you about my cute table story in a little bit. But right for now, we have to... Joseph, perfect opportunity. Introduce yourself, because I'm about to jump into the 5-minute freestyle. Good morning.
He came in like Betty White.
Yeah, daylight savings time happened, I guess.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, introduce yourself before we get started over here.
Okay, my name's Joseph Schomburg. I'm just waking up in Paris, France, and I'm a former Anglican who turned atheist around, I guess. Started around 18, and today I do everything I can to promote critical thinking.
We'll go with that. Yeah, I'd forgotten about the time shift, which is a whole other story for another day.
Because we both forgot.
We stupid Americans are still working with different.
Yeah, holdovers from like World War One and Two, but that's for another day. I promise we'll talk about that another day, because too stupid not to.
And France is still getting over it.
Yeah. Anyway, in the meantime, let me at least get us started with 5 minutes on the clock, with apologies to Heath and Noah. Thank you very kindly. Who knows, maybe we'll have the rest of the crew showing up eventually. So I had something that popped up in my feed earlier this week, and I made a post about it on the Facebook feed for the show. And if you don't know about that, of course, just facebook.com/holycrap, holycrap the vlogcast. It should be pretty straightforward to try and figure it out. Anyway, so my question then is everybody familiar with this gentleman, Bill Watcott? Now, if you're from Canada, you might actually know about this misogynistic, well, no, I can't really call him that. This confirmed asshat. No, actually, he hasn't called himself that. He's a bigot. Pure and simple. There's no other way of putting it. He is an absolute religious bigot. He has been working for the last, I don't even know how many years it's been. He's been working for his religious principles to change things in Canada so that it would be more Christian-like, so that gay people don't have the same rights as straight people, and LGBT people don't have the same rights as, because, you know, it's all kind of different. It's all kind of the same, but abortion? No, can't do that. Well, as far as he's concerned, so you shouldn't do that, and it should be completely changed in the law, because he thinks you shouldn't do that, because he's got these firmly held moral beliefs and stuff. And he made it in the news recently, not because he's been doing the stuff, which he has been doing for a number of years, but because he's decided that he's paid enough. And by paid enough, I have to kind of backtrack a little bit on something and say, I actually respect this guy. Now, before anybody goes ahead and looks to rip me a new one on this one, just hear me out, because I've still got another 2.5 minutes. So let me make my case. I actually respect this guy. Not because he's a bigot. Not because he is completely against women's rights for health, reproduction, LGBT, the whole thing like this. Not because he's firmly committed in his beliefs. Actually, no. That's actually what I support for this guy, believe it or not. In 2013, he was convicted under the Saskatchewan codes for human rights. That stuff that he was promoting, the pamphlets that he was giving out condemning homosexuality, was against their code. So he had to pay one person that complained $5,000 Canadian and another $2,500 Canadian, which doesn't much matter. It's a significant amount of money. But he paid it. And he did that. About 10 years before that, he had a $15,000 fine. And he was suspended from his job as being a nurse because he was picketing a Planned Parenthood place in Regina. Okay, it was turned over on appeal, but he still had that where it obviously was a huge question mark and somebody thought it was wrong, at least for a little while. So he's marched, he's protested, he's tried to make his way to making Canada a more Christian nation, according to his way. So I respect him that he went ahead and he did his thing, even though he knew it was going to cost him. So good on you. You went ahead and you did what you wanted to do and you paid your lumps. So now, why is he in the news? Because he's finally decided after 10 plus years of doing this, and forgive me, there's no other way of putting it, he's getting the fuck out of Dodge. He's finally decided that, you know what, I can't make a change here in Canada. So he's moving, he's relocating, he's taking his air quote ministry out of Canada, and he's moving out of Canada. No. And you know what? I don't care where you're going. Really, I don't. But I respect you that you're willing to take your lumps and to finally pack it in and say, you know what? I can't do any more good here. Because that means that you're a quitter. Guess what? You want to be a quitter? You go right on ahead. Because the more times you quit, is more times that you move, is more times people will look at you and go, well, if you couldn't do it there, why would you try to do it here? Eventually, nobody is going to bother to listen. Which means it's one more voice that's taken itself out of the gene pool. Good on you. Keep up the good work.
You know, I don't understand why somebody would try to make Canada a Christian nation. I mean, Canadians already apologize more than Christians.
Or the Jews, but that's for another day for later.
That was an apologist joke, I think.
Yeah, it very
really?
Much so was.
Are you sure?
Okay. But that's another piece for later. This is, and of course, welcome to episode 57, Cherries Have Pits 2, as of this recording. in our support on behalf of the show. It has been 2 years, 9 months, 5 days since Raif Badawi was imprisoned unjustly. Yes, I will be keeping track until he finally gets off the plane in Canada, where he deserves to be. So this week we're going to be talking about cherry picking. And for those of you that are perhaps unfamiliar with the term, short version, cherry picking is taking a very large volume of information and going looking through and specifically carving out with an X-Acto knife just the piece of information that you want to make your case, even if it means that you have to cut around other pieces of information that actually counter the specific pieces of information that you want to bolster your stuff.
Well, if there's any Americans watching the show, think of it simply this way. Think of Burger King or some fast food chain. They have a higher-up exec who wants to institute a new dessert, and they want to make sure that it gets approved. So they will send this prototype dessert to a location where they expect it to be received with open arms, with positive reports back at all times. And they'll pick 100 or 200 people out of there and go, yeah, our we did a test run with it, and it was success. So now deploy it across all our restaurants across all the U.S. and where maybe it's not welcome up in north or down south or on the West Coast or the East Coast. And now suddenly they don't know why it's failing.
Mm. So
citing that one scientist who's against climate change.
Exactly. Or how about that one scientist that's against vaccination?
Yes, we're going to get to all of this stuff, I hope. In the meantime, if you are watching with us live, first off, of course, thank you very kindly. If you would like to take advantage of the question and answer system, please do so. We'd be more than happy to tackle stuff. And it helps us to kind of get an idea as to who's actually watching, paying attention, what kind of questions you've got. Right off the bat over here, Secular Lobster, thank you very kindly. Hope that you're having yourself a good evening, morning, evening, whatever. Yes, Secular Lobster is chiming in, and thank you very much. Butter. No, you will not.
Dude, I've got unsalted butter downstairs. I've been doing really good.
You're not allowed to be doing that. And I'll give you one good reason why. Lobsters are an abomination. Don't use lobsters. They don't have scales.
That's right. You know, there is in the Bible the same section that talks about quote-unquote homosexuality talks about eating shellfish too, doesn't it?
Well, not specifically, more along the lines of if it doesn't have scales or fins, it's bad, okay? By the way, this is also the same section of the Bible where people will tattoo pieces on their arms about that kind of thing as well as homosexuality, and then not pay attention to the part that says you're not supposed to put tattoos on your skin. See, tattoos.
Yep. What I think is really amusing is people don't realize is that most religions used to be a sign of faith to tattoo the holy symbols on your body. In fact, priests and priestesses used to be covered in tattoos.
Priestesses?
Not necessarily Christianity, but old religions. Old religions used to have a history. It came out of, I think it was Egypt. Older religions had a history of tattooing certain symbols on their arms or maybe on their chest or head or things like that.
The Babylonian city gods.
Them too, yeah.
That's where it started.
Joey, you look like you had something that you were going to say, and you've kind of backpedaled a little bit.
I looked at Lobster's page.
Okay.
And I found something on there that makes my head hurt.
You too.
Right now I have to open this page.
On his page, there, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll find something that he posted up called the Enduring Freedom Jesus Christ doll. It's a 12-inch classic-type G.I. Joe doll of Jesus in desert camo fatigues.
G.I. Joe was action figures.
Hold on. This is titled Enduring Freedom Jesus doll with rocket launcher. That is not a rocket launcher. That is a mortar. There's a difference. And you cannot say light. Okay, in the description it says light mortar rocket launcher includes projectile bombs with depleted uranium tips. I'm sorry, but one, light mortar or rocket launcher. They're not synonymous. I would know.
Yes, and if anybody's going to know, Joe's going to know. He knows all of... not only does he know...
I thought they made depleted uranium tips only for the bullets and the missiles. They're the bunker busters.
No.
Where is this going?
You are confused. We use uranium... We use depleted uranium for composite penetrators. For sabo rounds, and the idea is, you know, spalling.
And now,
if I remember, NATO actually outlawed depleted uranium weaponry.
Yep.
We're gonna stop it right there because my brain, which is still tired and left over from last weekend, is going places that I'm really not supposed to be going to for another six.
Yes. We know. What you're supposed to do is get up behind them and penetrate their rear so that you get maximum damage.
So
we're talking about tanks, people.
Not anymore. We're not. We're talking about cherry picking. Let's move this along.
Can we cherry pick a tank?
We could, but we're not going to. Aww. Socially awkward skeptic. Welcome. Before we actually get into the real thing, I want to hit on this one. Socially Awkward had put over here in the Q&A, brand new atheist YouTuber chiming in, great topic tonight. Leaving the smoke skirt thing going on right now. Welcome.
Depleted uranium penetration smoke skirt.
Stop.
Tanks coming up the rear.
Tech.
SAS?
I have a dull butter knife. You cannot threaten me with a fork.
Go ahead.
Mine hurts more.
Stop. SAS, in all seriousness, welcome. You said that you are brand new. That's okay. We started this a little over a year ago. We are still feeling our way through. We're still new, as far as I'm concerned.
We still have no idea what we're doing.
Pretty much. Take your time. Do your stuff.
And see, find Sass, take this a lesson from us. As long as you can laugh at yourself, you're okay.
Yes.
It's when you take yourself so damn seriously that you can't laugh at yourself, that's when you got to stop and say, whoa, what am I doing?
Yeah. And if you find that you would like an opportunity for somebody to check over your stuff, I'll be happy to. Send me a message. I'll see about that later. And who knows? If you would like to pop in sometime, maybe we can see about that. After all, we've done it for one voice already. What the hell? Why stop there?
Yeah, now he's on the podcast voting site.
Yep, but we'll deal with it later. For now, though... I want to hit one thing for cherry picking straight away because it's an item that doesn't get mentioned as specific cherry picking, although I kind of feel like it is. Believe it or not, I'm going to do the Ten Commandments because we will hear on a lot of occasions where people will say, "Well, the Ten Commandments are the basis of the laws for the United States." And I'm using that as an example because I hear that way too damned often. And it's the thing that I happen to be most familiar with.
Hi, Katie.
And we will hear... Yes, hi, hon. And we will hear on many an occasion that there are good laws in the Ten Commandments. Things like don't lie. Don't murder. There's a good one. Don't want something that somebody else has to the point where you take it from them, I guess. There's probably a couple of others that are actually worthwhile there, but I mean that's all you really need right there. And that in and of itself right there is cherry picking, because you're going to take 2, 3, maybe 4 items out of this list of 10, 40% of the information, and use that to say the whole thing is good, when normally wouldn't it be at least 50% of something to show that it's something is worthwhile? That's just me on that one. That's just the first example of what I can come with. Who wants to go ahead and drop an example that they've seen that they really can't stand or had to deal with before? Don't make me go asking for volunteers again, because I will assign you guys homework.
Go ahead. I never did mine anyway.
I could never, I can't think of a particular example, but the act of doing it itself is just, it's just dishonest, that's all. And it's usually somebody who does it, they have an untenable position, otherwise the facts could speak for themselves. But it's also, it's an emotional issue, people who do it. I don't know where to start, but they're asking you to trust either them or an entire position. They want you to look at it. If they find one thing that's true, they expect you to validate their entire position. Just, it's like, it has nothing to do with fact, actually. There's no reason involved in it. It's an emotional thing. But that makes sense.
It does. It does. And I'm thinking of a specific example of the kind of cherry picking thing. I'm trying to remember where it was specifically from.
I can think of one just now.
Sure.
It was a debate with again Matt Slick, and it was a show. It was hosted by another theist, and they were both going at. I think it was Dillahunty. And they kept on trying to make Matt Dillahunty validate one event in the Bible. And they seemed to be convinced that if they could make Matt admit that one event in the Bible happened, that everybody should believe the whole thing, you know? It's a global thing. I mean, yeah.
Somehow or other, I'm thinking it was probably a Bible-thumping wingnut. Somehow,
oh, yeah. That's the only one I can think of. But it's something we've all got. Something, if going to emotional responses, we've got something that's called a trust factor. I call it a trust factor, anyways. I'm still new in just studying this, but. It's you validate your position. It's like a filter we all have. You can have two people doing exactly the same thing, but if you like one person and you don't like the other person, you're going to see something completely different. So basically the goal of cherry picking is making the other person trust you. It's more a validation issue to make you into a trustworthy source, so that if they're willing to accept that one thing is true, they're going to accept everything you say. That's the goal.
And in the meantime, using information out of context, I guess, is really what all comes down to.
Yeah, any means possible.
Okay. Tech, I do see you finally popped back in. You okay?
Okay, what did I miss again?
Not much of anything. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Percy Earth cooled, and then, yeah, okay. Come on. I've heard that one. That skip before.
Skip to the end?
What topic? Yeah.
Okay.
Skip to the last few microseconds.
you know what? There is too much. We'll just move on. Don't worry. You didn't miss enough that you have to worry about it at this point.
We're talking about hearing actually people cherry pick things.
Yeah, we're still there. That's gonna be all.
I've heard it.
Okay, so go ahead, Joey.
Well, the only one that comes to mind for me, and every time somebody brings up cherry picking in the Bible, this is the one that automatically comes to mind, and it always makes me smile. Young gentleman at a protest holding up a sign for his Twitter, protest against gay marriage. The sign reads, "Because is against God's law, against God law is a deadly sin." To which that glorious bastard, George Takei, his own little sign, "So is wearing a cotton and leather hoodie," Leviticus 19:19.
Isn't it amazing how that works out? Yeah, that's, you know what, we can't talk about cherry picking without absolutely destroying Leviticus and people who decide that they're gonna use that for freaking everything. Tech, you got it right away with Lobster earlier. What else out of that section do you happen to have any recollection of? I mean, we've got mixed fabrics.
You have the mixed fabrics, the blended fibers, if you will. You have the trimming of the beard. Okay, you're not supposed to cut the ends of your beard. You have the, basically what it boils down to is not eating shellfish. You also have such things as, for example, if I remember correctly, it's in Leviticus, or maybe it's another part of the Bible, but it does tend to get ignored a lot, is that if a woman is having her wonderful time of the month where she's just so emotionally stable and her body is just, you know, as calm can be. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The complete exact opposite of that. No offense, ladies, but from a guy's point of view, when you go through that, it's, wow, we don't know how to deal with it because it's not happening to us, you know? So when they go through their period, many religious texts, the Bible, the Quran, talk about how unclean a woman is at that point, and you're not supposed to engage sexually with them. Otherwise, you yourself becoming unclean, and then there's supposed to be these cleaning rituals. What? And if you don't go through them, you know, that sort of thing. So there's some nasty stuff in these Bibles and in these religious texts.
Yeah, Joey?
I'm not going to go there. I'm not.
All right.
You would be fairly unclean. I'm just saying.
Unrenowned Tech and Joey do not necessarily reflect all of the feelings and opinions of all of the members of the hosts of Holy Crap the Podcast.
Listen, it's really simple. Women go through a biological process that most men, number one, don't understand, and in historical times had absolutely no scientific knowledge of. At least in today's day and age, if men who have no idea what goes on or what's going on inside of a woman's body can go and pull up a book on anatomy, pull up science and medical journals, and learn things. But back then, they didn't know anything, so they make up all this crap about how the woman's unclean and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, that's a whole bunch of hogwash.
Yeah. I mean, the crass side of it all, aside for just a couple of seconds, and we know, yes, I know, the point is, for, as usual, exaggeration, so please don't be pissed off or anything. Please read it as what it's supposed to be. It's a hyper-exaggeration of exactly what this stupid book has been saying for millennia, for no good reason. It's just dumb. It's really what it comes down to. Now, if memory serves, weren't there supposed to be also some things about having sex with animals in Leviticus, and you're supposed to kill them?
You're supposed to kill the animal and possibly the man.
Yeah, which I don't don't get this whole
thing. But, you know, it never says anything that I recall about a woman not having sex with an animal.
There is something to be said for that.
But hey, at least you can still eat beaver.
Yes. Now, there's anything about
not eating the animal.
There's a thing about that. Joseph, did you... I'm pretty sure you were on for the show for that one. You recall about that, yes?
Well, speaking of Leviticus...
Wait a minute.
When was the last time any of us had a burnt offering?
I'm talking to the guy who's out of the country. Give me a second.
Which Joseph? Me, Joseph?
Delay, I'm waiting for him to respond.
I'm working on it over here. Yes, Joseph. The whole thing with beavers, being able to eat. I know. Leave me alone, people. Let it go. You were around for this, if I remember correctly. In Canada, the whole beaver is okay to eat on Fridays.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, I don't think I've ever eaten a beaver, but that could be turned into a...
This whole show is...
I don't know where the fuck what you're the... going.
Seriously? Sorry. Really? Oh, fine. Joey, explain it really quickly.
Okay, so for those who don't know, apparently there's a bit of a pastime, a tradition in Canada about eating beaver. And no, there's no pun intended there. I mean literally eating beaver. And of course, there was a petition that was put up to the through the diocese, to the Pope and all that, about, you know, are we allowed to eat beaver during Lent?
Because it's meat.
Yes. So, the Pope himself went ahead and declared the beaver, despite all taxonomy period, it's a fish. Oh,
really?
Yes.
Okay,
so you're allowed to eat beaver. Yes.
What did they say about a platypus?
Well, I don't think the Australians make a habit of eating platypus, so
you know what,
Canadians don't make a habit of eating beaver either.
Some do apparently.
Look at it this way. If you're living in Australia, if you can actually kill one of those sumbitches before it kills you, as far as I'm concerned, you should be allowed to eat it. I don't care what the hell it is.
Are we thinking about the same animal?
I don't care. I really don't care anymore, because this whole thing has just gone to shit right
Maybe
now.
Maybe a platypus with a bazooka could kill you.
Well, wait a second. If I remember something correctly, one moment, I gotta check.
Yes, it is. Son of a bitch.
What?
The platypus is venomous.
Yes,
it's a mammal. It's a mammal, and it's venomous.
Yes, and how is it? It's got
because
a spine.
God
on
has
the back.
A sense of humor.
It's got a spine on the back of one of its elbows, knees. I don't even remember.
Its hind leg.
Okay, fine. You know what? Whatever the hell it is. So this is. You know what? This is a perfect example. This is a perfect, perfect, perfect example. Tech, here's what you missed. First, the Earth cooled, then the dinosaurs came, then the platypus came up, and this is where I'm going with this one. Cherry picking. Here's a perfect example. The platypus is a freaking cute as hell animal. It is an adorable animal. If you've ever seen little baby platypuses, I don't care. Platypi. Multiple platypus. Whatever. They're freaking adorable as all hell. But there's just this one little piece on them that makes them deadly? Joey, really quickly, is it deadly or just like really annoying?
Okay, it's a barb on the back of their heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm looking at some of the injuries resulting from this.
Do not want. I will kick you off, and I will permaban.
Is it anything like the spider over in Afghanistan that kills camels?
Oh no, no, no. Okay, hold on. We're not gonna spread that lie.
No, we're not. No, that's a whole other thing. But it's exactly the point. It's a cute, adorable animal, except for just one little piece of it, that could do serious damage and potentially kill you. Uh-huh. All right, that's good enough. That would be, if you were to take just that barb and say, this is an animal that should never exist because it is ready to kill you at a moment's notice by just jabbing you, that completely discounts the entire rest of the biology of this otherwise cute as hell animal. That makes, like, no freaking sense for
other than... How did you find that thing cute? I have yet one more reason to never go to Australia.
Agent P.
That's another piece, but anyway, Joseph, really, really...
The platypus.
Yes. All right, so I went ahead and I put you on the spot for beaver. So, leaving that aside now. You know what? I don't even know where the hell I was going to go at this point. You guys have got me all kinds of screwed up at this point. I don't even know where the hell.
It's not my fault.
You're not helping.
Oh, God. Oh, you are getting Joe.
Ooh. I told you not to look.
Oh, there's a kid on the lip. Oh.
Moving on.
Okay.
Cherry
okay. Okay. So here's one. All right. Since we're talking about these weird evolutionary pieces, how about this one? The claim that Darwin said that the eye, because just it's completely an impossibility that it should ever have been developed in the first place. Therefore, evolution believes something that shouldn't be because Darwin said it shouldn't be, but didn't bother to read the rest of the quote where it says, but there it is, and I have to believe it, so there's got to be a reason for it. Are you guys even, like, here? Hello? Is this, yes. Is this thing on?
I'm waiting for you to complete your thought. Yeah. It sounded like you weren't complete. You're done yet.
It didn't sound completed.
Okay, so that's my fault.
We were waiting politely.
Wow.
I was also searching for Platypus Rule 34.
Don't do that. Really don't do
tech,
that.
Tech. Corner. Now. Now. Corner.
Don't need this. All right, so we've heard this quote be used before. That Darwin said that the eye should not happen at all because it doesn't make any sense. But then people will just latch onto that part and not even go on with the piece that says just a couple of characters later, but there it is, so I gotta believe it, and I gotta have to understand why. And there's gotta be other arguments than that we've heard about. I mean, we've heard so many different debates and so many different people who have claimed such weird, stupid things. There's got to be one that's stuck in our heads somewhere along the way. And you guys in the Q&A, you know, feel free, type away, because, you know, I'll get around to looking at what you guys have got too, because it might come up. There's got to be one of our favorite punching bags that we can just go ahead and rag on. I'm looking around for a couple of items.
I thought I was the punching bag.
No. I mean, like William Lane Craig or the Amish Wolverine or Ray freaking Comfort. Somebody that we know full well that they've just gone ahead and said something so completely bogusly stupid it's not even funny.
Cy Ten Bergenkate with our favorite
How
quote.
About Scott Walker? Picking a politician.
Cy Ten Bergenkate with our favorite quote of all.
Which one was
oh,
that?
Oh, shit.
The entire... The Quran is false, and the Bible is true. And, oh, God, I can't even... My brain is not even able to operate on the level of stupidity that it takes to even remember that entire train of logic that he tried to... Somebody help me out here.
If I remember right, it was something to the order of... If the Bible is true, the Quran is true, and if the Quran is
no, is if true, if the Quran is if the Quran is true, then the Bible is true. If the Bible is true, the Quran is false.
Correct.
Right.
That's because the Bible says that no other book is true, that they're all false, but the Quran says that the Bible's true. It's just, I'm paraphrasing here, and I'm working under limited knowledge of the Quran, but my understanding is it says that the Bible was true, but it's outdated, basically.
Yeah. What the Quran did was hijack the Abrahamic texts and the Bible, and basically they just took the books and signed their own name to it, and that's it.
Well, that's the same thing the Christians did with...
Yeah, but Islam does it literally. They're saying, well, you got the commandments from God, but you're doing it wrong.
Plus, the Bible has unicorns and the Quran has Pegasi, if I remember correctly. Muhammad do...
They just kept on updating the model, that's all. They were learning from past mistakes, so...
And funny enough, Gary Gygax never sued them for using Pegasi, I guess. I'm sorry. Is it too soon? I'm sorry. Not sorry at all. Not a damn bit. Not a damn bit.
Oh, God, I just found Rule 34 Inception. It's Rule 34 on Rule 34.
Really?
Really? I'm sorry. No. My mind doesn't function properly.
You guys are generating more questions than giving answers.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I will say this. Since we've gotten a little bit off track.
A little bit.
Go ahead and put us on track with a new train. This is pretty much cherry picking in the reverse, but it's still something that drives me absolutely friggin' insane.
So it'd be good.
Fox News being a very good example of this. Do you ever see on the news? I mean, what do you see on the news? What do you see on the news every single day?
I try not to look.
Politicians did this. Some guy murdered this guy. Billy Joe Ray beat his wife. Somebody robbed a store. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Do you ever see anything on the news about how a kid helped an old lady across the street?
Yeah, on MSNBC, I can't talk. Basically, NBC networks. Yes, there's a evening show, usually like 7 to 8, something like that.
Really, they have to go to
here
the
on East Coast. End on a positive note. They always end on a positive note. But Fox News, you're right.
Yes, Joseph, you were saying.
I wasn't saying anything, but Fox News, yeah, well, that doesn't really enter their message, which is basically fear and only we can save you if you obey.
So would that be black cherry picking? Wait, no.
Here's the thing about Fox News that a lot of people don't realize is that Fox News was taken to court at one point in time for something that they said on the air. And if I remember correctly, when you say it, it's slander, right? Libels, print, slander, spoken?
Yes.
Okay. So they were taken to court for slander, basically, is what it was. They did some kind of news press, whatever it was. They did it on the air, and they got taken to court. Well, when they got to court, the attorneys convinced the judge that they were not in trouble because Fox News wasn't technically news. They were an opinionated entertainment program. That's how they defended themselves against the slander charges. And it succeeded. So in a court of law, Fox has admitted that they are not, at least the program that presented the slander as fact. That particular program, at the very least, which presented itself as news and still does, has admitted that they are just an opinion entertainment piece. And yet, it turns out there were other sections, other programs on Fox News that have had the same problems, and that's how they're defended all the time. So now, if you're a news, my question is, if you're a news network, and somewhere in upwards of 80% of your news programming is all opinionated entertainment, how the hell do you call yourself a news program?
If I'm not mistaken, in Canada, it's illegal. They can't present themselves as a news program.
Welcome to America.
Yeah, and as I recall, that is correct, because there is some kind of statute that basically says if you're billing yourself as a news outlet, you must be presenting news. And that's obviously part of the problem. To go along with part of what Tech was saying, there was I'm trying to remember who the people are. I believe it was Bill O'Reilly who was talking with, oh God, what the hell was his name? From American Atheist. Silverman? Dave Silverman?
I'm sorry, you said Bill O'Reilly and talk at the same time and I just choked up. Apologize.
I'm being generous with my terms. But
I can't remember him talking the last time I heard him talk. He just usually yells now.
Yeah, well, funny enough, as I recall, I do believe it was Silverman from American Atheists. I could be wrong on which group it is. Please forgive me. Last weekend, I'm still kind of recovering from a little bit. I'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, but he did go to head-to-heads with some atheist on his program and lost.
And one of the things that he tried to pull off was to say that Christianity was a philosophy, not a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know how he tried to pull that one off, other than to say through his teeth that he was not a religious person, he was a philosophical person, because it was, I don't even know.
But I think it had a relationship with Jesus, if it was his pet Rottweiler.
Or it could be your pet Rock. I mean, those who lived through the 70s know about that one.
Pet Rock is more substantial than the real thing.
But taking bits and pieces of, in this case for Christianity, taking bits and pieces of the Bible and flipping through and saying, I like this, I like this, I like this. Okay, so I'm not going to eat meat on Fridays, except for beaver when I'm in Canada. I'm not going to have sex with another person of the same sex. Well, at least, I won't do that. But I'll just get a tattoo of them on my arm to show how much I love them. Oh, that's covered too. You know, I'll forget that part too, because it's okay. I like me some lobster. I'm sorry. So I'm gonna keep eating. Oh, I can't eat. Well, that's all right. I'll just throw on my robe and go out and get myself something to drink. Oh, different types of fabric. I can't do that either. Well, you know what? I'm just not even gonna be bothered with any of that stuff. It makes it so difficult to talk with people and try to explain, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, because they don't even know that they've been cherry-picking all this time, because it's been done for them.
It has nothing to do with anything rational.
Point. No, that's true. It's all too true. Actually, you know what, Joey? You and I both have a history with Roman Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
We were told all the things.
Uh-huh.
We were told all the things, and it never seemed to, I don't know about for your upbringing, but for me, it never had anything to do with what was said at church, at Mass, because it was all the touchy-feely, so to speak, readings from the Bible, and it was all nice, and all the pieces that were talked through, but there were never there was almost never anything that was said, you need to do this or you need to not do this, other than you need to now shake hands before I can tell you that it's safe to leave.
You were brought up in a very different place.
Okay.
They ran mine like it was a concentration camp.
Well, that sucks.
I honestly wouldn't have a problem with cherry-picking the Bible.
Because
if they all did it in a uniform manner and they only picked out such things as love thy neighbor, love your brother and your sister and your enemies, love yourself, those sorts of things, not the hate this person over here because they're of a different religion, or stone this person over here because they had sex with their wife when she was on her period, or kill this person over here because they cut their beard, you know, or they failed to make a proper burnt offering. Get rid of all that hateful, spiteful, mind-controlling bullcrap and focus on the love everybody, help your neighbor, you know, when help your enemy, help the people around you when they need it, rather than praying and being all full of yourself. Okay? Take out that other crap. Focus on the good, the loving, and the helping parts. And you know what? I would not have any problems with any Christian at that point.
But they've painted themselves into a corner because for them, the Bible, it's, how can I put this simply? It's nothing but an appeal to antiquity prop. I mean, what's in it doesn't really matter because they're just going to take what they want from it. And it's not about the Bible itself. It's about what the guy holding it is saying. And to change something in the Bible, they're going to invalidate it, which means they lose their appeal to antiquity. I mean, that's important in humans.
Yeah, to me, it's like the proverbial talking feather. If I've got the feather, I get to talk. And I have the authority because I have the feather.
And that's interesting. I've never heard of that one.
I don't know if it's a true Native American thing or if it was something that was co-opted by like the Boy Scouts or some such thing like that. But you know what? It's funny you say it that way, Tech, because I had always thought of cherry picking as a bad thing. And I guess as an honest
cherry picking can be a good thing. Look at the obscure laws that not just our country but other countries have. But I'm going to focus on the USA because I'm from the USA. Like laws like not being able to tie a horse to a parking meter. How many people in New York City have a horse that they ride down the road on and tie to a parking meter where they go get their haircut? Okay, that law can go out the window. We can go through the laws and cherry pick out the old ones that don't apply anymore. For example, one state has a law that if a man and a woman are together in a hotel room and a woman is a virgin, the man may not have intercourse with her. But there's a subset to that law that states that even if that man is married to that woman, he still can't have sex with her if she's a virgin. So if they're on their honeymoon, they can't go to a hotel, any hotel in that particular state or county or wherever it is that law exists here in the U.S. It was on one of those lists of old obscure laws. So yeah, you could cherry pick. If you look at the Bible as what it was originally intended for, a means to control as well as a means to instruct. If you cherry pick out all the controlling stuff, and you pick out all the instructional stuff that no longer applies, you're left with things that could still apply to this day, such as love your fellow man, help your fellow man.
I like that idea. Joey?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call that cherry picking. That's revising. That's taking
same
something
thing.
And clearing it out. Cherry picking specifically is in itself a negative connotation.
So, you know, if you're looking for a positive connotation, it's revision. And let's face it, they will never revise the Bible more than they have already. But
I foresee...
Translated it a few times.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I just finished. I said they've already revised it in the translation.
Yeah.
But, oh, I had...
How many of you guys are classical literary readers?
No.
Okay. How many of you guys have science fiction interests?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, has anybody here besides me read Stranger in a Strange Land from start to finish?
Oh, never. Not that one. No.
Okay. Never touch it. In Stranger in a Strange Land, just to bring up a section of it, there is the concept of a church called the Fosterites by the Archangel Foster. And apparently in these churches, in these fictional churches, it's okay to sin if you, as long as you, you know, in terms of you want to get drunk, well, you get drunk at the church on the church's own brand liquor. You want to overindulge on food, you overindulge on the church, at church property with the church food. You want to gamble, you gamble with the church gambling slot machines. But you see, there's returns too, where if you get, you pull on the slot machine and you don't win, you still get a little piece of paper with a little passage on it from the Foster's cherry-picked Bible, you know, where they've cherry-picked stuff out of other religious texts. And they're still preaching the concept of fun and love and everything else, but they're also preaching that ours is the one true faith, not anybody else's. They still have the controlling mechanisms and things like that. It's a really interesting concept. And I could see the churches of today going down that path, because if you look at the what are they, Episcopalian, or the ones out in the Bible Belt that have like the video game arcades in their churches for the kids, and they have the pizza party get together, they have the big screens so that people can watch the sports game after church services are over, things like that.
Not the only thing close to that,
or something like that. I don't know.
It could be. All I know is
those mega churches. The mega churches. Think of the mega churches. That's what I'm talking about. I can see the mega churches becoming like that.
Okay. Not quite sure where that goes on this one at the moment. But that's okay.
Well, where it goes is that to make that happen. In Stranger in a Strange Land, they had to cherry pick certain sections of the Bible and other religious texts to make it work, and then add new things to it. And if you look at the way a lot of churches are functioning, a lot of churches, to get the members coming back, started saying, okay, well, you know, we're not going to gay bash anymore, and we're going to honor homosexual marriage, but we're going to love you, but, you know, please remember in the book it's still a sin, but we're still going to love you, you know, and instead of kicking them out, they're becoming accepting of certain things. So I could see them, since they're already making these kinds of changes, continuing to make changes to try to get more and more and more and more and more people, such as what I saw in the book.
It's just going to become another ignored Bible passage, that's all.
Uh-huh. And see, that's the biggest problem that I've got with the concept of cherry picking in and of itself. That you could have an incredibly huge, wonderful, nuanced piece of information that stretches a page worth of information. And if you intentionally go in there and find five words strung together in the middle of a sentence at some point or other in all that, that says something other than what the entire page is actually trying to tell you, and you try to say, well, in this page, on this document about this thing, it says this, and this bolsters my thing, global warming, all right, we'll go with that one just because. That says that, yes, there has been a cooling trend for the last 18 months, and there it is. And that proves that scientists are not all in concert about this whole damn thing, when if you read the next couple of words, it says, for the last cooling trend for the last 18 months, that has been superseded with double the warming the following 2 years, and you've just gone ahead and you've just scooped out a piece that just seemed right, even though it was just completely wrong. And that's one of the things I've seen about Joey. Yeah, I see you.
That's the next one I was going to bring up, was evidence.
Be my guest.
Evidence in general, whether you're talking about the whole global warming issue or whether you're talking about guys with their anti-vaxxers, with the with evolution, with actual evidence in like a courtroom, not even falsified testimonies, just, you know, telling them just enough. Because one of the things they have you do in court, and while I don't necessarily believe in the particular practice of putting one's hand on the Bible and swearing and all that, I do believe in the practice of, at least up until, you know, swear to God, the whole idea of, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? When you all too often, you end up seeing issues with people who, you know, they tell the truth, but they don't tell the whole truth.
For me, that's paramount to lying.
Yeah, it's oh, shoot.
But it's not technically lying, so people...
Whoa. You're getting into legal territory about lies and not lying and things like that when it comes to a court of law.
Who cares about
legal? Unless you're prepared to argue with an attorney, you're not going to get very far with that stuff.
Well, look at it this way. That would be commonly referred to as a lie of omission.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nuanced problem, and that is exactly why, Joey, I believe that you were trying to say you need to make sure that whatever it is that you're going to lay out, you need to lay it all out on the table.
Because otherwise it is. Granted, this is much more serious than your typical cherry picking, but it's still cherry picking.
Yeah, it's specifically leaving out pieces as opposed to pulling them in.
But, how can cherry picking do any harm? Look at the whole anti-vax thing.
Oh, God.
I know I don't want to spend too much time on it because...
No. You're 100% accurate.
But
that's why I said.
Yeah. All right. The anti-vax thing, because it's a perfect target on this one. How many people were in this quote unquote study that anti-vaccination people have been touting for way too long? Anybody remember what the number was? I'm pretty sure I remember the number.
I'm pretty sure Mr. Google will find out for us.
Yes, but even without Mr. Google, Joseph, you said, 15?
50, I think. But if I remember correctly. But that's hardly even cherry picking, because the anti-vaxxers who are using this thing, they don't even know what the fuck it is.
Well, there's a reason why I'm using this one in particular. Joey, you look like you've got something you just want to scoop out there now.
No. I'm just happy because somebody who is watching the show is texting me and him.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much for watching the show and not letting the rest of us know. We appreciate that. Thanks. Ever so much.
I don't think they have a Google Plus account. I don't believe they have a Google Plus account.
According to BMJ, Wakefield received more than a certain amount of money from the lawyers. The study showed that the 12 cases that Wakefield examined in his paper, of the 12 cases, 5 showed developmental problems before receiving the MMR vaccine, and 3 of them never had autism. So they found the Wakefield study in 1998 was found to be an elaborate fraud, and it had 12 cases that were examined.
Now, here's the cherry picking part.
They're doing all this stuff on 12?
Yep. Here's the cherry picking part. It was a sample size, if you can even call it that, of 12 individuals under dubious circumstances, some of which were paid, some of which were specifically selected for.
$600,000.
Yep. Plus, how many millions upon millions of people had vaccinations? How many millions upon millions of doses were utilized? And how many thousands upon thousands of man hours in hospitals was eliminated because of the grand, incredibly grand percentages of working vaccinations before you even get to any side effects whatsoever?
And how many people died because they didn't take it and they had a chance to?
There's one thing I don't understand. What was the goal of publishing this hoax?
What's the goal of lying to anybody?
To essentially get money. The idea was they would be able to use this as backing to file lawsuits against those who made, manufactured, and those who administered vaccinations.
So it was an ambulance chaser.
Pretty much. Yeah. A very ambitious one.
Okay.
Yeah. But that actually, Chu actually brought me to my next point. Advertising.
Oh, good Lord.
Advertising is a great example. Let's look at, you know, four out of five dentists recommend. Okay. What five dentists? What were their credentials? And what did the fifth one say? That's what I want to know.
Clinically tested.
Or, you know,
what were the results?
And this is something I have a little background on because I had to do some projects involving them. Weight loss supplements or, you know, bodybuilding supplements.
Well, actually, I think the other Joseph hit on something really important to bring up. Clinically tested. Because clinically tested doesn't mean that it exceeded or even met the goals. How many products do we see that say they're clinically tested, so they're okay?
But that's an appeal to authority.
Yes, but we're gonna get to that because there was something that happened here in New York not too very long ago that kind of ties into that. But Joey, finish your point.
Well, a good example was, you know, weight loss supplements. You know, they go on with the whole, take this weight loss supplement. You don't have to change your diet. You'll go ahead and lose weight by the pounds. And then they have, you know, the this is me before and this is me after pictures. I took this weight loss supplement. It was great. Little asterisk. Also happened to, you know, diet properly, get regular exercise. But no. Just take the weight loss supplement. It's good.
And don't forget to take your tapeworm while you're at it, too, because that'll help. I'm sorry. That was a little over the line, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
No, apparently it's not. I mean,
there was actually a weight loss supplement that was on the market that actually sped up your metabolism and caused you to lose weight as long as you did not increase your food consumption while on this tablet. The only problem is that people decided that they were going to take more than the side of the bottle said you should take, and they started having heart attacks.
Yeah, and there's another issue with that, because I've seen those same types of supplements used while I was in the military. And big issue with those that, you know, somebody fails to mention is that they drastically increase the rates at which your body perspires. And I don't just mean sweating. I mean, you know, sweating, salivating, urinating, you know, the amount of water in your fecal matter, how quickly your body sheds water vastly, vastly increases. And you have to drink a ton of water while taking this stuff, but they don't mention that. Yeah. And I've seen guys who have had to go to the hospital as a result of that.
And that's another piece of it all, too, that drives me up a wall. We end up with something that I saw earlier today. The little one saw a commercial for this earlier, and Joseph, I don't know if you've got the same kinds of advertisements in France for over-the-counter medications, or even, you know, prescription medications, where the companies are allowed to market them quite the same way. If you would like to try to, go ahead.
There's one thing that bothered me when I came here to France is that I saw everywhere, every pharmacy, and they tend to be hypochondriacs here. They've got a pharmacy on every corner, and always there was a blinking sign in the window: homeopathy. And like, it was like, I just didn't get it. And it has only stopped maybe about 4 years ago.
By the way, I want to touch on something about homeopathy in a couple of minutes. Remind me about
homeopathy. Sorry, I'm pronouncing it in the French.
No. Quite sure. Right. That's just kind of, yeah. But, there was an advertisement on TV for an allergy medication. Just leave it at that. It was a pill. The point of it was, the advertisement said, take the pill and you will start to notice, you will start to have improvement from your symptoms within 30 minutes versus the next leading nasal spray stuff that you won't have full utilization of it for a day. The problem that I ended up having with this was I suddenly realized, wait a minute, you need your body time enough to digest and process the chemicals, the active ingredient. That's going to take you a minimum of 30 minutes for that to go through, maybe closer to an hour for it to really even start. And I just look at my little one, I'm like, they're talking about the placebo effect here.
Yeah, exactly.
It can't get started until after it's processed.
It's almost immediate.
Yeah, the placebo effect has actually been proven to help in terms of dealing with temporarily with pain and certain kinds of effects that your body is experiencing from an illness or a cold or things like that. It's basically mind over matter, and it's proven that as a temporary thing, placebos can do that, and that it can actually be, in some way, shapes, or form, you know, in terms of like pain relief, it can be beneficial, but only for a very brief period of time. And yeah, but for long instance, term, it's not going to be beneficial at all.
Right. Like that first half an hour where you're experiencing relief from your cold symptoms because the actual drug hasn't gotten into your body quite yet.
Yeah, they found out that the human sinus system can actually alternate between the left and right hand side, which is why so many people throughout a day when they have a cold, sometimes they feel more plugged up than other times of the day. And depending on when they take their medicine, well, this medicine works great. I can breathe great now. Oh, it must have worn off. Now I can't breathe great at all.
So the cherry-picking thing can actually work both ways. You can specifically include information, or you can specifically exclude information, which is, I don't even know which is even worse to be dealing with. I think the worst part of it is trying to deal with that kind of stuff on, like was mentioned, a court, but that's neither here nor there for the second. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, to take cherry picking, okay, just to look at it globally, it's anti-logic, it's anti-reason, because, and it's like going back to what I was saying earlier, it's a purely emotional thing, because reason is examining the facts and coming to a conclusion based on those facts. And cherry picking is the exact opposite. Yeah.
It's a logical fallacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In and of itself,
it is. It's a validation issue, but what are we validating? Because when you're cherry picking something, you're not validating facts, you're validating it. It more has to do with the person who's exposing the facts than the facts themselves.
Well, I'm actually going to take difference on you on this one. it is a matter of validating the facts as being part of the part of whatever argument. Yes, I'll go with that one. However, I think it's much more a matter of artificially validating facts with insufficient information. For instance, if one were to say that
Mother Teresa was a saint,
well, figuratively speaking, for a second, she has, I believe, been canonized. You know what? Yes, doesn't really is. Much matter. Doesn't matter. Figuratively speaking, Mother Teresa was a saint. She was a wonderful person, a helpful individual. She brought comfort to a vast number of people who were otherwise dying. You could get away with saying that without adding all of the rest of the facts, which were she comforted these people while they were continuing to stay in agonizing pain because they believed that they were supposed to be because she told them that they should be because it brings you closer to God, dying in a otherwise horrific manner with pain and loneliness and suffering. Which, once you add in all of the rest of the facts, once you have it all in there, then you end up with a very disgusting look, which is very antithetical to what you were originally putting into there. Speaking of antithetical woman, hi, Heretic Woman is joining us. Good morning.
Hello.
You're Hello. Late.
Morning. Good. You're later than me.
I'm sorry. I was out hanging with heathens. I'm sorry.
And that's okay.
We've been grasping at straws since you've been gone.
Sorry.
Just for yourself.
All right, short version. Heretic Woman was going to be out with some folks, and she did let me know ahead of time that she probably wasn't going to be able to show up at all. So the fact that you're even here, first off, good morning. Good to see you again, by the way.
Thank you. I just played a rousing game of Cards Against Humanity, and I unfortunately did not win, but I came in third out of originally eight, so that's...
I beg to differ. There is no such thing as losing at Cards Against Humanity because everybody wins.
This is true.
They may not get the most points, but they still win.
This is true.
Now,
especially when one of your answers is the blood of Christ.
You didn't get that one.
The first time I played it.
What is Batman's guilty pleasure?
Dead parents. Boy Scouts of America?
Dead parents.
We did get the dead baby's answer, though.
Oh, great. So you're getting all practiced up for dealing with Noah and Heath. That's wonderful. Okay, so real quickly, this past weekend, I was up in Toronto, as I had mentioned, and I'm only taking a sidetrack on this one real quickly.
Toronto.
Yes, went up to Toronto for Fernal Equinox. I do have a video walkthrough if people would like to see over on my personal channel on YouTube under Shujin Tribble. And had a great time, and on the way back, we got the opportunity of hanging out with Heretic Woman for a little while, although not where we intended to be, but that's a story for later. So thank you, we had a great time.
Truck stop.
Definitely. No. No. We went to A&W.
Oh, wow.
They'll still have great little hot dog bites. Corn dog bites.
Not here, they don't. I would love that, but they don't have those here. But, yeah.
Yeah, we were originally intending to go to Harvey's because Harvey's burgers are some of the best friggin' burgers, period.
And I love the...
Yeah, plus I had poutine. Unfortunately, the address sent us somewhere where there was a Home Depot. There is the possibility that the Harveys may have been inside of Home Depot.
Inside, yes. We find this out later, but we're kind of wandering around the parking lot going, where the hell's the Harveys?
Got lost a burger joint inside of a Home Depot.
Mississauga, you know.
That could work.
It could. Because,
I could see Five Guys inside of a Home Depot or Lowe's down here by me.
Gosh. Two things aside from all the awesomeness of ReasonCon I'm looking forward to is Cracker Barrel and Five Guys. And there's one of each down the street from the hotel, so I'm stoked.
I have a Five Guys down the street from me.
Oh, you suck.
Wait. Who told you that?
I love Five Guys.
I think it was probably the seal on the engine that you blew that told everybody, but we'll come back for that a little bit later. By the way, of course, you know, everybody's just, over just on the QA.
The terrorist.
Life out of it and fixed it, damn it.
There you go. I'm sorry, Joseph, you said?
Nothing.
You know, I don't believe
I donated a sand dollar to Jerry Squids.
We'll talk through all of the stuff from Dr. Demento's CD another time.
Hello, Katie. She said it's about time I showed up. I'm sorry. I was out drinking with heathens. I'm sorry.
Also, you're drunk.
No, just a bit tipsy. Okay. It was a hotel.
I hope you brought enough for everyone.
Well, I do, but it's in my fridge in Canada, so, you know. Do you have a pipeline to Pennsylvania?
Not yet, but we're working on it. I'm going to help. Thank you.
I've completely sidetracked the show, dear.
That's okay. It's been actually kind of difficult.
How many times did we sidetrack today?
Too many.
What a track.
I got to get a whiteboard, put it next to my computer, and every time we sidetrack, just put a hash mark on it.
That's fine. We need a list. We need a list for the show now. We've got a list for the
show. We need a lift? What?
I take your fucking eyes out. With a corkscrew.
Just what I need. Thank you. Thank you ever so much. You could have at least said a cherry pitter, but, you know, that's fine.
You don't see the violence there in the system.
So let's see where we can get done with, because we got a little less than a half an hour to go at this point. All right, so cherry picking, we've talked about it, can kind of go both ways. You can exclude, you can include, and it all depends as to how you want to play with it. Since you came a little bit late to class today, Heretic Woman, we've made mention to things like Darwin making his comment about the eye. Should not be, but yet there it is, and they don't use all that. We've talked about Leviticus and all the stuff that says you're not supposed to do, but you kind of forget about the stuff when you write those passages on your arm with a tattoo, but oh yeah, it says you can't do that. What other ones do you want to go ahead and specifically use as either as an include or an exclude item?
For fun, I've been reading, technically via audiobook, I've been reading Age of Reason for the last day and a half, and there's some awesome, awesome stuff in there. If you have not read Age of Reason, get your ass out there and read it now, is all I can say about that, but... it's amazing. Thomas Paine brings up a lot of good stuff, and I actually put some stuff on my Facebook page today about that. But I don't know if it's cherry picking to the same degree, but the whole like Immaculate Conception bit, it's like, okay, some girl who arguably could have been as young as 12 turns up pregnant and says it was God that did it, and we're just going to believe that. And Thomas Paine's idea was, well, if any other girl came to you and said, "Hi, I'm pregnant and God did it," you would laugh in her face. And why do we believe that, or why do we, but why do people believe that Mary was, you know, telling the truth, and they wouldn't believe anybody else? That seems kind of lame to me. That was a good one.
Yeah.
You mean the Immaculate Rape?
Yes, that one.
It was actually Joseph who saved her from being stoned because he married her.
I'm sorry, but if a 12-year-old girl walked up to me and said that she was pregnant and that she was bearing God's child because God, you know, bore within her, first thing I'd be doing is calling social services.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the second thing that I would be doing would be looking for the camera crew from Maury Povich's show to try to find out who's trying to pull a fast one on me.
I have a meme of that, actually.
You are not the father.
Father. But the quote that I love, that I actually posted a meme on my page earlier, it says, in reference to the New Testament and that whole story, it says, it gives an account of a young woman being engaged to be married, and while under this engagement, she is, to speak plain language, debauched by a ghost.
That's... I can't argue with that.
No. No, I mean, the man was a genius. I wish they made us read that in Canadian schools, because I missed out on that. It was pretty amazing.
Canadian is a language?
Yeah, apparently. Well, especially if you're a newfie, it's a language.
Wow. Yeah, we made reference to various different dialects in Canada when we were at the con. Newfies have a very strange and unusual dialect, I guess is the best way to put it.
I think Newfie goes beyond dialect, but that's just me.
It starts as a dialect, but eventually it becomes its own damn language.
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, so. But anyway, that was one of my big takeaways from reading The Age of Reason this weekend. I still have part three to go, which I'm told is the best part, but it's pretty damn awesome so far.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So I want to get back to the eye for a second, because I've been hearing a little bit more about this whole thing, and I've been learning a few things, and I'm going to specifically credit Richard Dawkins, who surprisingly enough actually spent some time on Star Talk Radio not too very long ago with Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye.
Awesome.
We must pretty well know them. That's one of the few podcasts I still have from my kind of original set, so to speak. But the piece I wanted to reference to is the eye's design, the human eye, the vertebrate eye, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently the eye, as a generic term, has had several different incarnations, several different simultaneous evolutions, developments. I believe he said approximately 20 times, 12 times, something like that. But it's more than just one that it's come out. And...
yeah, they did that on Cosmos.
Okay, I have not yet had the opportunity of seeing it, and thank you for putting on the hat of your people. The vertebrate eye, I had always been taught that start with the lens on, all right, just to simplify it, start with the lens, light comes through it, comes through the center part, and comes to the backside where your rods and cones are and all the light falls into it. That's the way I had always been taught. And apparently I was taught wrong.
Yeah, because it didn't start evolve with a lens at all.
Well, it's not just that, but the way that it currently resides, and I'm simplifying it hugely, and I know it. It turns out light comes in through the lens, comes through the center port, strikes the back of the eye, and the cones and rods are actually facing the back part of the eye. So before the light actually gets to the back part, which then has to reflect the light into the rods and cones, which are in front blocking the light, but you've also got all of the blood vessels and all of the supporting structure before the light gets to the back of the eye, reflecting backwards into the rods and cones so we see it the way that it is. And I was never taught this. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us weren't. But if you want to consider something that would be considered cherry-picking, saying that the eye works the way that we had always expected it to, where the light comes in and it falls into the rods and cones and we understand it there because it all comes into the... we were never given the full picture. Please forgive the pun, totally unintentional. So we didn't get the full explanation for whatever reason. And it could be very easily just a matter that, you know, we just didn't know. It wasn't conveyed to us properly. It wasn't something that was explained properly and fully in complete context. This kind of is an innocent piece of cherry picking. We didn't know.
Depends on what the goal was. Because if the goal, you know, if it's just if they're actually trying to teach you how the eye works, that and the, maybe they just don't know. But if they're trying to tell you that the eye is a perfect design, yeah, that's cherry picking, made by God. Then that's cherry picking.
Yeah, and that's funny enough. That's in a lot of situations how it's typically put out there. Evolution is wrong.
Leads over to the other because, you know, the tradition is teaching the eye is made this way, and religions that's gonna bleed over into everyday education. Actually, the eye's a pretty bad design. But if you look at the human eye, you know, all of our sensory what would you call them? All the senses basically. Began as nerves behind skin, and some nerves became sensitive to light, others to smell, and all that. And basically, the eyes stayed that way. And and that's it. And it just built all sorts of stuff on top of it to treat the light.
Now, I just have one question.
Sure.
The eye is supposedly perfect, right?
We've been told that.
Then why the hell does it keep fucking up?
It's because you touch yourself at night, Joseph. That's why it works that way.
Okay, but if I don't have my contacts, I wouldn't even be able to tell you who is on the screen right now.
I may or may not necessarily wear contact lenses.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, look, I can see my hand, and that's about it.
But there is
hand. I can't find my feet.
That may not be the same issue. I'm not sure.
No, because it's no.
Yeah, I know where your mind's going.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We're not. I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that the answer might get me ass kicked at some point in the future. If get together at a con final one of these days. But
you might be quoted.
I might be quoted out of context. Exactly right. And I, you know what? I think that's what I want you to use. That's what I want to use for my closing in a couple of moments. I think that's where I want to get us over with, because we're getting pretty close onto it now.
Yeah, and besides, we're all giggly and tired, and just can't stay on topic tonight.
It's true. And you know, they can't all be gold.
You know, back on the topic of cherry picking, I there were several people in a gaming group that I partake in that we got on the topic the other night of religion. We were talking about basically, you know, how things are cherry picked out of a book, how things don't make sense in them, specifically the Bible. Most of the people in this country you talk to have some way, you know, in some way, shape, or form, reference. Catholicism, you have a really high probability of meeting somebody who's either practiced it, indoctrinated, researched it, whatever the case might be. And, you know, quite a few of them were very upset that, you know, you go around and you listen to the politicians, you listen to the preachers and the pastors and everybody else cherry-picking what they want so that their agenda and you know, it's no wonder that no religion or atheism or agnosticism is on the rise. It's not because these groups are cherry-picking the Bible is because in the very act of cherry-picking, you bring attention to the other parts that are there that are being ignored in the same chapters, in the same book.
Yeah, I know. It's a pain in the butt because there's so many subtle examples, and trying to specify through them is it's tough. Partly because it's a nuanced thing, and ironically enough, trying to find some of these pieces to really best explain them is a
Actually, you don't have to. If any of our listeners really want to get in on this, and I don't mean in on our conversation, but to understand where we're coming from, and they have not read the Bible, or maybe they haven't really done in depth, or maybe even that they don't have the attention span to really read the Bible and pay attention and find the passages themselves, because not everybody is an avid reader. There is an atheist version of the Bible called the Atheist's Annotated Bible. It's a regular Bible, but it has annotations and highlights. And so when you read a certain section that has conflicting information in terms of conflicting with another section of the Bible, it's highlighted or underlined, and it has the mark saying where you can find the conflicting information. So then you can flip to the other page and go, okay, well, over here it says this, but over here it conflicts with it on this side. Like in Genesis with the creationists, with the creation in Genesis, where it conflicts within Genesis of itself. So those are all annotated in there. So you can actually go in there. You can choose to ignore the annotations the first time you read through, or you can pay attention the first time you read through, whatever the case might be. But you now have a very powerful resource at your hand. And so the next time somebody comes up and goes, "Oh, you're going to hell because you're gay," you can pull up in the Bible and go, "You're going to hell because you're wearing mixed fibers, or you shaved," things like that.
Or even more fun,
you could say, just go
ahead. I was going to say,
go ahead.
Otherwise, you could just go ahead and say, for example, heretic woman, you should not be talking to me about this shit because Matthew says you should just shut up and get yourself back in the make me a sandwich woman.
Yeah, well, you know what I can say to that.
Yes, and we've got three more episodes before you can properly say it.
I know.
Anyway, we need to see about getting done over here because we're getting pretty close and onto it.
Actually, I think Amish Wolverine needs a copy of the Atheist Annotated Bible, so that way he can try to correct the conflicting information in Genesis. Because I don't think he's really paid attention to the fact that there is conflicting information in Genesis. We should all chip in and buy him one and have it mailed to him. Have it from Cash talks about that Creek Church Corpus revival Creek. Group.
Catfish Creek Baptocostal Church. Yes.
Right. We should have the return label reference the Catfish Creek Church. Maybe somebody can get a phone call or two and talk to the man one-on-one.
Yeah, he has appeared on No Religion Required, Pastor Roy.
And if we're going to do this, we're going to have to make sure that we pitch in properly and we have the ship glitter to your enemies group have it sent down to them.
There's really funny. There's a new one. There's a new one. You can have a bag of dicks sent to someone now.
Oh, yeah. They're very tasty and they come in different flavors.
And colors.
They
look yummy.
They come in different flavors, my dear.
So long as one of them isn't latte, I don't really much care because I don't have anything to do with this one. We're going to have to get ourselves together over here. Joey, what last items do you want to go ahead and put out for here for everybody? You know what? You're not hacking and coughing. That's fine by me. That's fine. Silence is fine enough.
I am, but I've been smart enough to mute my microphone for the latter half.
Appreciate that. All right, that's perfectly fine. Joseph, what last item would you like to go ahead and throw in for this as we're getting wrapping up?
Well,
I know it's been one of those.
I know, but putting me on the spot. Well, I'm sorry about my earlier comment. You know, about I was going into about this being an emotional issue, all that. But I'm just when I'm talking about that, I'm like talking about the tip of an iceberg. It's a big topic. I think that should be elaborated. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up without a full explanation.
Quite all right. Who knows? I mean, it's entirely possible we may revisit this because I will admit I kind of got pushed for time because I've had other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I thought we were going to be on a completely different topic.
To completely explain myself, it would have taken me like 20 minutes, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see what we can do for another time. Tech, okay. What topic?
I thought we were going to be on the topic of censorship. You're like, because, you know, I brought up a couple articles, and you said, you know, save that for the next time we're on the air because you're going to be out of town for the week before. So, you know, we'll touch on this. You just remind me. I sent you the reminders, and I'm going, okay, I'm prepped for the topic of censorship. And then we didn't hit it. We hit cherry picking. I was going, okay, my mind is geared for another topic. We're screwed. At least I am.
I'm sorry. That
because my brain is like, think of like watching a train wreck in slow motion. That's about the speed at which my brain functions at on a normal given day.
Yeah. About that. Yeah. That's mostly my fault, partially because I had things happening this week that were making it really tough for me to concentrate.
Cool. You know, this is the one thing a lot of people don't understand. When they pay attention, I've noticed that a lot of people who are very religious about the Bible, that they're very religiously conservative, they don't want changes. They don't want anything to change about their lives or what they've been told or what's been read to them or what they believe. So that's one problem that we as atheists come in contact with whenever we try to point out these problems, like cherry picking or conflicting information. They just negate it. They say, no, my brain's not handling it. Like Katie's pulling up, you know, if our eyes are perfect, why can we only see in limited number of colors? She's absolutely right. There is a shrimp called, I forget what it is, but its claw can actually produce plasma. It's like a shotgun, and when it goes off, it snaps together, it produces a shock wave and a momentary tiny ball of plasma, and the shock wave is so powerful that it produces that it stuns a fish or it kills in many cases.
Cavitation bubble, and you're speaking of the mantis shrimp?
Mantis shrimp, right. Its eye is so complex, it views more than 3 times of the spectrum our human eye could see. So if our eye was as complex as its, as the shrimp, and could see what it could see, we would probably be having a completely different setup than what we have right now for computer screens.
Indeed.
Because they give off so much other types of wavelengths of light that our eye doesn't perceive. We wouldn't be able to see what we're seeing right now. We'd be overwhelmed with other wavelengths.
We have just binocular vision, at least most of us. Whereas a mantis shrimp has 6 functioning major functioning eye parts. So they have sexnocular vision. Dirty, dirty vision.
Mm-hmm. But she makes a good point, you know. If our eyes are so perfect, why do other animals see better than we do? If our nose is so perfect, why can other animals have a sense of smell better than us? If our bodies are so perfect, why do people choke to death when eating food? Because your airway and your esophagus and everything else are shared. Whereas a dolphin doesn't have to. A dolphin can eat and breathe at the same time.
And talk.
You know, yeah, and the point is that, you know, there are plenty of scientists and biologists who have pointed these things out, that we are not a perfect being. We are not created perfect. We have flaws. We have problems. And people just don't want to hear it. That's why they cherry pick. That's why they have the cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. And Heretic Woman, I know that you only just got here, but it's almost time for us to disappear. What kind of piece do you want to throw out there for everybody? Because, I mean...
Ooh, I don't know if you want to throw.
There was another great bunch of contradictions that Thomas Paine brought up, actually. It was to do with the Gospels and how none of them really correspond with the other. And my favorite one, and I forget which one it is, that mentions the, you know, everything when Jesus is dying on the cross, that everything turns black for 3 hours, there's earthquakes, and the zombies come out.
Oh, the zombies. And
the zombies. And
I thought this one of the spear pierced his side.
Something like that. But I mean, how can... That's pretty epic stuff going on. And how is it that only one gospel out of 4 ever mentions it? And the other ones have all these other details about what happened, but they, like, how do you forget zombies and earthquakes? Like, forget about the dark for 3 hours, because, I mean, that could just be, you know, really super overcast. But zombies and earthquakes, I think you'd remember that.
Heck, that could have been a solar eclipse that only affected a certain portion of the planet where the other writers weren't there right then and there.
Which is possible, but I'm sorry, zombies in Jerusalem.
Yes. Yeah, the guy who wrote that book was the designated driver. So it was
Well, he was on the holy mushroom.
Yeah.
Or he was the original... I was going to say, otherwise it could be that he was the original writer for the movie Clue, with all 4 endings waiting to be used.
Could be. Or, you know, he was the one writing the talking donkey. I don't know. But it just seems pretty messed up that, you know, one guy's like, oh my God, there's earthquakes and zombies. Ah! And everybody else is like, yeah, he died. Then he wrote.
Talking donkeys. Is that where
talking donkeys came from? Like, no, did you see, like, the zombies, man? Like, wow, there's a lot of zombies.
Man.
Dude, I haven't seen your LSD, but did you see the dragons in your kitchen?
Yeah, and like the Urshik man, and like it all got like dark, and like dead people were like walking around, man. Like, did you see that shit? Oh my gosh.
So who's been around a campfire?
What's that? It moved over there. No, it's a bat. No, it's zombies.
Honestly, I think the people of that time were definitely on something when they wrote some of these.
Ergot root poisoning. That's my theory.
Makes it's sense possible. Some of our greatest art was done by people who were either, number one, clinically insane and just not diagnosed with it because I couldn't back then. Or be on some kind of hallucinogenic or stimulant or something to just change their perceptions. It's entirely possible that an entire town had their food supply, their food stores, contaminated with something.
Yep.
It got in during a harvest or whatever, and they had a mass hallucination. Because when you have mass hallucinations, people can feed off of each other depending on how they're communicating.
Mass hysteria, that's a theory behind the Salem witch trials, actually, is that it could have been caused by ergot poisoning.
Or, you know, it could have just been the predecessor band to the White Album, but we talk about that another time. Anyway, what I wanted to end up closing with was something that Joseph had mentioned just a little while ago. And what was that word, the French version of the word?
Homeopathy? Homeopathie.
Thank you.
Only du fromage.
And
sorry, that's all I can say in French. Omelette de la fromage. He's technical hungry in France.
Tu ne parles le français beaucoup, hein?
Ma secteur.
You called me a
Anyway, the reason why I wanted Jessup to say it is because, first off, there's something about the way that it sounds in French that is cool to me, and I don't know what it is.
No H? But
what it is somebody in French can, when somebody's speaking to you in French, they can completely and utterly insult you, your family line, and your ancestors, and you would say, thank you, because you have no idea what the hell they just said.
Well, then ta mère de connasse de connard de...
Hey, this is PG, buddy.
So help me, if I have to put...
It's like wiping your ass with silk.
If I have to put a disclaimer in French, so help me, I'm going to make you write the disclaimer yourself. Anyway.
What does foutoir mean?
Anyway.
Mais je comprends le français aussi, n'est-ce pas?
Elle est obligée, elle est canadienne.
Oui, oui.
You know what?
You two are not helping matters.
The two of you?
Bon, on va conclure en français.
Ouais.
Let me.
Sorry.
Les Américains n'est pas comprend le français. Je suis désolé.
Our viewer rating had to go up from the banter back and forth. Seriously. The positive is we probably had a couple people join on. I have no idea what the hell's going on, but they're just enjoying the French banter.
You know, all well and good.
Susan can add subtitles later.
Yeah.
Good luck on that.
I think that's Dallin's job. Guess what, Dallin? You get to do French subtitles now.
Oh, jeez.
Screw that.
Poor guy on the website already.
I'll just have Google Translate have at it. We'll see what happens with that. Anyway, the point I'm trying to
translate.
The point that I'm trying to get through here is the term homeopathy. We're familiar with it. We understand what it is, what kind of goes into it, and what doesn't go into it. But hearing the word pronounced in French, it sounds almost elegant. And that's because of the way that is presented. What has this got to do with cherry picking is this. It sounds nicer to English ears. It has a different feeling, a different expectation because of it, because it sounds like it should be more elegant, like it should be more than what it really is. I had thought earlier this week, how cool would it be to get a bunch of plastic balls, like you'd see in a ball pit, and get them into configurations that would be the equivalent of water, molecule of water, glued together, sewn together, whatever it takes, and throw it into a pool, an emptied out pool. And then put together a string of these things that would correspond to whatever the active ingredient in some kind of homeopathic whatever is, and put the equivalent number of molecules that should be in into the pool, and find some way of mixing it up, whether you're using a giant steam shovel or whatever, just to, you know, something that would actually work. And then take a scoop out, take out all of the all of whatever, and then with that steam shovel, dump it all back in and refill the pool with whatever it is that should be the equivalent of if you were dropping more water in. And do that to show, when you get done, this is what you're left with. You're left with all this water. Can anybody find however many pieces of that molecule is still left? Now, we all pretty well know, you get to 100 times dilution, you've effectively got virtually nothing left. And that's where the cherry picking comes in. It was there, but they hide the fact that there is, mathematically speaking, after a certain point, nothing left of the active ingredient, if you can even call it active. They just completely leave that aside. They don't tell you that it's actually mathematically not possible for it to be there. Just conveniently leave that part out. And not too very long ago, here in New York, they did tests on homeopathic stuff and supplements to find out how much of the active ingredient is actually in there, only to find that there is far more filler than anything else. Sometimes it's ground up pieces of tree. Sometimes
in some cases there was no active ingredient, but you got to remember, water has memory.
The point that I'm getting to is the information was that it was supposed to be there, and that information has been conveniently excluded. You can cherry pick to bring information into the picture. You can cherry pick to leave it out. But in any case, as Joey had mentioned earlier, it's a matter of lying. When all is said and done, it's lying. And in most cases, not all, but in most cases, it's intentional, highly intentional. Because with a lot of stuff, in order to find those little bits and pieces that say global warming has been steady and has not changed in the last 18 months, ergo global warming is not a thing, you need to intentionally look through to try to find that information in order to present it. Because if you were to actually use a bigger X-Acto knife, if you were to use a cookie cutter instead of an X-Acto knife and pull in all of the rest of the information around it, you've got nothing to stand on. And you know what? I can tolerate a lot of stuff. I can tolerate ignorance. But I sure as hell am never going to intentionally condone lying. You want to go ahead and you want to lie? You damn well better make sure that you make it a good one. But I warn you now, with the internet, with the vast amount of information that is out there, there is no way in hell that you can lie long enough to make it stick worthwhile. Oh, sure. Like P.T. Barnum said, as was mentioned in the Q&A earlier, you can fool some of the people some of the time. But with the internet, when it finally comes crashing down, not if, you're going to be a fool. And really, once that happens, just like with your homeopathic remedies, all of your expectations of what you should be able to do because you've got all this clout will be more diluted than what you can believe. Or is it that you're the one that's diluted? It's hard for me to tell. As always, everyone, thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We hope that you've enjoyed yourself and found something worthwhile in all of our perspectives. We do believe that we have something interesting and worthwhile to say, even if this may not necessarily be up for a podcast award this year. We'll see about next year. All of our hopes to all of the podcasters that are up, especially those that are friends of the show, Noah, Heath, and Lucinda, of course, from Scathing Atheist, Tom and Cecil, okay, yeah, I mean, they've kind of blown us off so far, but you know what, that's okay, we don't hold a grudge. And of course, Seth, best of luck, man.
And don't forget David Michael,
thank you very much. Heretic Woman, thank you for showing up late. I'll take your doctor's note later for your absence. We'll be excused from class. Excellent. What would you like to plug to get us on out of here?
Well, of course, my other shows, Beyond the Trailer Park, which is Wednesdays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Secular TV channel on YouTube. And my other show, which is My Secular Savior, you can find it at mysecularsavior.com. And the Twitters are on my lovely...
Doobly-doo.
Yep, gizmo there.
Fair enough. Unreno Tech, thank you. Good morning. Nice to have you back. And I will try very, very hard to remember that we've got your topic for next week. I'll try to remember. Thanks for...
No. It was that... can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. The little thing on my screen wasn't bouncing in it. So it's like... Anyway, it wasn't the fact that we didn't do that topic. What it was, that I had thought it
You're
up.
Ready for it.
It had nothing to do with that. It had to do that I just wasn't prepared for the change. You know, whatever topic you want to do next week, I'm fine with. Just give me a day or two heads up. That way I can get my mindset going for it. That's all. And, going on with tonight's topic and things like that and some of the things we've discussed, I figured I'd let the world know that my Johnson is homeopathic. Just swallow it and find out.
90% water anyway. Joseph, good morning. Thank you so much, of course, as always. And I hope that your coffee is doing well for you.
Need another one. Nothing to plug.
That's okay. And remind me, at this point, because we had the time change, we're now an hour earlier for you, aren't we?
Yeah, because my alarm clock woke me at exactly when the show started. I usually wake up an hour before.
Okay. So I'm not the only one this late then, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks, showed up.
You know, there's actually talk here in the U.S. of one state is considering legislation to get rid of daylight savings time. And it's like, you do that, I will freaking move. I don't care where you are. You could be in the middle of the Bible Belt. If you get rid of daylight savings time, I'm going to move.
Well, Joseph, with any luck, maybe we'll get that all straightened out. We'll all work on GMT finally. How's that?
Okay.
I like that idea. And Joey... Sorry it took a little while to get to you, but of course, as always, thank you very kindly. You get yourself some sleep tonight, eh?
I will try if I can find sleep between vicious, violent thoughts of what I will do to tech.
Well, you know, if you need help sleeping, I have a homeopathic remedy for that. It's called a sledgehammer to the head.
Yeah, but how effective is that with it's diluted with water?
The sledgehammer?
Yeah.
Or his head being diluted.
I'm imagining tortures with a spork.
I'm going to give you a 12-gauge suppository, I swear.
Dude, it wouldn't have any effect.
Yeah, I know. Like throwing a couple hot dogs down a hallway, huh?
Oh,
you know.
No, it'd be like shooting a 12 gauge into a titanium steel wall.
Ooh.
I don't know where to take that except
bones
to say.
Of steel, bones of steel.
Dude, I can produce diamonds.
It's machismo wars.
Stop talking about your anal retention.
And on that note, we're going to call it a night.
What's in your hand? I have it. It's tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now diamonds.
Yeah.
Just what I needed. So everyone, of course, as always, thank you very kindly. We hope that you've enjoyed yourselves. We're hopeful. In all seriousness, we're really hopeful for Scathing Atheist. They had their first video time on with us. And I don't bring that up because I'm name-dropping, but because they have been, even if they haven't been on again, because timing and everything, they're good people. And I'm really hoping that they get the recognition that they richly deserve.
Yeah,
because they've worked really hard at what they're doing. So if you have the opportunity, by all means, subscribe to them, listen to them. send him a threatening letter, something, you know, I don't care.
Hey, apparently I've been able to make Heath laugh via Twitter, so, I mean, you know, anytime somebody laughs at my jokes, they've got to get plugged.
I bet they would appreciate the bag of dicks.
We will have to see what we can do about that. In the meantime, you all, if you are putting up with another Arctic blast of air, which is coming through right now over here in the Western New York area, of course, as always, just be safe. If you're in an area where it's been warming, be safe with the flooding. I know that's, we've had a little bit of that going on this side too. But in the meantime, as always, of course, on behalf of the crew, I wish you all the peace I no longer have. I wish the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And of course, Fooj, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. We will see you all again next week. We'll be back, of course, and as always, until the next time, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.